Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. My name is Josh. Joining me on the show this week is an amazing drummer of a band from the Great White North that go by the name of Lutharo. His name is Corey. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm fantastic, dude. What's up?
Not much, man. I'm feeling good. I'm glad that we got to sit down and have this chat, man. So
yeah, 100%. Is it the Great White North up there right now? Is it pretty cold?
It's getting colder, but we don't have any snow yet here. Nah. So okay. Yeah, it doesn't really feel like winter quite yet. It just got cold like this past week too. So
yeah. What part of the territory are you guys up there?
We're in Hamilton, which is southern Ontario.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, one of the warmer places in Canada, I guess. It's not as cold as, like, Edmonton or Winnipeg or anything. It's probably minus 40 up there by now. So, yeah we get pretty lucky with our weather some years. So
yeah, I got you. It's the 30s here in South Carolina, and we're like,
Yeah.
Let's get the warmth back, man.
yeah, that's pretty chilly for down there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, like I said, I'm super stoked to join me on the show today. I think it's going to be a fun conversation because not only is your band super kick-ass and a lot of fun to listen to, but you guys are awesome. I've seen that the band has their own show sometimes on Instagram. I see that on there. Watch it. You were just telling me pre-show that you have your own podcast, so I think this could be a lot of fun, man.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, the band started doing our own podcast at the beginning of last year as well. Where nice. We just hop on, we do like about an hour of just band chats, talking about tours, recording, anything to do with the band, and we just shoot the shit. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Sweet, man. Looking forward to it. Okay, so for anybody not familiar with your band, maybe just tell us a little bit about it. Tell us who's in it, who does what, and we'll kind of go from there.
Sick. Yeah, so we are Lutharo. We are kind of a variation of power metal, thrash metal, like death metal, I guess, melodic death metal, if you will. It consists of myself on drums, our bass player Chris Pacey, and the founding members Victor and Krista. Victor's guitar player, Krista is our vocalist. Nice. they founded the band I think in 2014, and then I joined a little over 2 years ago. So it was post pandemic. I came into the band, and we pretty much almost we had a little bit of touring, and then we pretty much sat down and wrote this record. We started recording it just about a year ago. It was right at the beginning of last year we started recording it. So we wrote it in like about 2 months, wrote the whole record. So yeah, but like in the last 2 years the band's grown a lot. Like we went from doing a lot more local shows than the usual, like in this part of Canada you hit like Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Quebec City, and those are like the four major cities that you play. So like we're doing that a lot, and then this last 2 years like we did a tour in Spain. Last summer we did a North American tour with a US tour with Ailstorm and Gloryhammer last May. Then right from that we went to Germany and did some festivals in Germany and Belgium. Then we had another North American tour, I guess, with Paladin and Unleash the Archers just in nice. September, October. So it's been a very, very busy couple years for us, especially from where we were like before that. We just signed with Atomic Fire Records a couple months ago, and then we have this new record coming out.
I saw that Chasing Euphoria is coming out in just a couple months. I seen it's dropping in March, two songs from the album are already on Amazon Music. It's kind of how I stumbled upon you guys that way.
Yeah, we have we have three out now. So and then we have another one dropping in a couple weeks. So
awesome. Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, that's great. Man. Yeah. So once I found you guys, I've been digging in the catalog and listening back and forth. And then once I was able to lock you down and get you on the show, I've been listening to it on repeat just to be familiar with the music. How would you say the band has progressed over the years as far as sound goes?
Well, like I've been really good friends with them and kind of watched them grow, because like I just joined the band full time within the last 2 years. So the only real writing I've done with them has been this new record. So everything they did previously, I did play on their first EP, but that I wasn't a part of the writing process of the music or anything. So I've watched this band like really grow from like a very small band playing tiny clubs, opening up, playing to nobody, you know, into, you know, last time we played in Toronto, it was almost sold out at like a 1300 cap venue. And like just kind of like seeing that progress over the years has been amazing. But as far as the writing and the musical evolution of things, I can really only stand for how we went into this writing process for this record. We definitely wanted to try to get out of whatever boxes we might have been in on the other ones. I also like to be very involved with my band's writing. I'm not the type of drummer that just sits back and just plays whatever the guitar player wants.
So, which they want some weird shit sometimes.
Almost always. never be done. But I have always been involved in the writing process of all my other bands. I have a lot more of a melodic and power metal background when it comes to it. Okay. A lot of like my other bands were a lot more heavily power metal influenced. So I think me coming into the writing process has brought some more of that, like epic catchy choruses. I think it's, you know, it's a must when you're dealing with this, even cross genre stuff, you know. But yeah, so I think like the overall progression, like we really locked in a good, I don't want to say like formula, but we really worked well together when writing this record. Like I said before, like we wrote the whole record in like, it was a little less than 2 months, and then immediately went into the studio. And it was like myself and our guitar player, Victor, pretty much locked ourselves in our jam space for a full month and just like wrote endlessly. Yeah, so a little bit of it had like came from just insanity of staying within these four walls for, you know, pretty much a month straight. But yeah, like we have different influences. So I think we found a way to really like find the stuff that our influences aligned on, but then went outside of that and really collaborated well on the stuff that either of us weren't as familiar with. You know, there was a lot of nights of like listening to different songs and being like, oh, that part's really cool. Maybe we should try something like that here. And, you know, like all that type of stuff. So,
yeah. That's cool, man. I like to hear that, because I like whenever you can pull from different aspects and influences. One thing I noticed that I liked about you guys a lot is to me, I don't know what the genre differences are between here and there. But to me, it's kind of like a post hardcore sound, because there's still guitar solos in there. And that kind of blew me away at first, is whenever you hear this hardcore sound and then you get a guitar solo, you're like, oh, they're meshing different things here. So the versatility, you know, everything you guys have going on is a lot of fun just to listen to. So whenever I was saying those songs that I heard on Amazon, to me, the progression of the band has been, and you said you like with the sing-along kind of the more anthematic kind of stuff, it's kind of like, yeah, I agree with you, because it does feel like it's progressed in a way of not just hardcore screamo. Now you guys have progressed through the rankings of metal, if that makes any sense. So yeah, the songs are phenomenal from what I've heard so far on the new album.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and yeah, we definitely all come from more of a just like a straight up metal, melodic metal type of background. It's cool that those like some of that hardcore stuff comes out in that. It's definitely not like something that was like ne necessarily intentional. But yeah, like we all have like I think Arch Enemy it was a huge influence
Oh,
for
nice.
all of us, you know, like especially like in my youth when Wages of Sin came out, like that album was like huge for shaving, because I think I was like maybe 15 or 16 when that came out. So it was like, yeah, I was like, oh my God, like you can be heavy and brutal, but also very melodic and have these uplifting melodies and everything. It can be happy and brutal at the same time, you know? So I yeah, like that's I feel like that's kind of what we're going for. We want it to be brutal and heavy and aggressive, but we want it to also make you feel light and happy and, you know, be able to sing along with it, you know, at the same time. So
Yeah, I think it's cool
yeah.
whenever you have a hardcore band or a metal band that also shows off its musicianship. And that's what my ears enjoy, man. So I think that's another thing that really captured your sound for me. What's a live show like for you guys? Is it a lot of energy? Is there some moshing going on? Is a lot of kids hyped up on what you guys are doing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like from our end of things, we aim to have the most energy on stage possible. Like everybody's wireless, that's an absolute must, because the guys are running back and forth and we're like always having fun with the crowd and everything, and we you know, like Chris is always in people's faces, and like we really try to put on the most fun and energetic show we can. I always try to bring as much energy, even though I'm like stuck behind the kit, you know, there's always headbanging and all that going on. Always got to make it fun and throw some sticks and do the twirls, and yeah, and
Cool, man.
as far as the crowd's concerned, all the crowds that we've played to within the last couple of years have been absolutely amazing. Like on that tour with Ailstorm and Gloryhammer, we were playing to some big crowds and we were opening. We weren't sure what we were walking into. It was the first big tour that the band's ever done, and the response from the crowd was absolutely like insane. Like
What
we
you
were
want.
not expecting it. Like our first show was in Charlotte, North
Yeah.
Carolina, and
I had
it
some
was
friends go to
like,
that show, man.
yeah, and it was crazy. Like it was like absolutely packed. We had lineups for merch after our set, like fucking a mile long. Like it was crazy. The crowd
That's good.
and all the fans that we made there were incredible. And when we came back with Paladin, we had a lot of people that saw us at that first Ailstorm show
Right
and
on.
like came out to support us playing the tiny little hole venue that we did on that run, you know? So it was like
That's cool.
somebody's basement or something. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, it was really cool. Like the fans have been incredible, and you know, we definitely get some moshing. We
Nice.
definitely, I'm fairly certain we had some crowd surfing going on, you know, like all that type of stuff. So everybody seems to have a fun time, and the only thing, there's no hardcore dancing or anything like that. I don't think that really works with our stuff, but yeah,
That
if those.
might be a lost art these days, man. I haven't seen any hardcore dancing in a crowd in a while.
Oh well, here in Hamilton there's a big hardcore scene, so yeah, there's a lot of hardcore shows and everybody's doing the ninja core dance,
That's
so yeah.
awesome, man. Cool. So one more question I have about the band is kind of like a just off the wall random question, and then we'll dive into some drum talk, my friend.
Sweet.
Do you guys hear, like, maybe what band often are you guys compared to? Like, oh, you guys sound like this, or you guys remind me of this. What do you guys get? What do you hear from fans or whenever you're at the merch booth talking to people?
It always seems to be like there's so many random ones that we get. It's hard to like pick them out, but the biggest one is always Arch Enemy.
Okay.
realistically, like that is the biggest one. Might be because we have a female vocalist. That or Unleash the Archers is another one. And yeah, and like when we toured with Unleash the Archers, it was like a perfect fit for the bill. And like I've known all of them personally for a long time, but
Awesome.
like seeing both our bands gel so well together, not only musically and on the stage, but you know, like backstage and everything like that. Like we all got along so well. So I really hope that we get to do some touring with them again. But those are like the two big ones, mainly like one for the more power metal side, with all the clean vocals and melodicness and everything that we do. And then one more for like the melodic death metal and the screaming vocals and all that. Those would probably be the two biggest ones that we get compared to, I'd say. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of weird small ones that people have mentioned, but I can't remember all of them. Yeah.
Right on, man. Right on. Cool. So that's good. If you guys are not familiar with Mufaro, you just heard how awesome they are, man. Make sure you guys get out there and check them out. All right, my friend. Let's talk some drums, dude. How long have you
How's
been at it? How long have you been behind a kit? And is that your only instrument?
So I started like really playing when I was 18, and I am 36 now. So whatever that math is, 18 years? No, yeah,
Yeah,
18
that sounds
years.
right. Yeah.
18 years. So, yeah, so I've been doing it for 18 years. I started actually playing guitar when I was 12. I started playing in bands playing bass when I was 15.
Wow.
And then the band that I formed with my brother, we couldn't find a drummer. So I was like, okay, we had a drum kit in the basement. I was like, I guess I'm just gonna have to get better. And so I did that. I played in this like hardcore band, and that was kind of like the first band I got to like do any blast beats or double kick. And then,
Yeah.
you know, and then this other band I have with my brother called Crimson Shadows, we've been going for almost 2 decades now. It's been 18 years, because that's when I started playing, right? So like that, so I play guitar and bass when I have to now, but yeah, drums have been my main instrument for about 18 years now.
Dang,
So
man, that's awesome. So does the fact that you know guitar and bass help with your writing at all, or is it a different mindset?
definitely. When we go, like when we're writing music together, like I say before, like I'm not just sitting behind the drums either. I'm a part of the writing process. And when I'm writing like guitar riffs and melodies and chord progressions, I am also thinking about what the drums are going to be doing to complement everything that's being written on guitar. So having a little bit of that like knowledge into the stringed instrument section of the band definitely helps with my playing. And like a lot of it is knowing when you need to lock in with the guitars and when you don't, when it's to lay back. You know, like if guitars are doing straight 16ths like palm mute, you want to be doing the same thing with your kicks. Like knowing what needs to line up with what is very crucial to writing drum parts. So I think it definitely, like learning those instruments in my early years, definitely has helped in the long
Awesome.
run of how I write my drum parts, for sure.
That's cool,
Yeah.
man. That's cool. That's awesome, man. So, whenever you were a youngster in your teens learning the drums, starting with them, like you said, when you decided you needed to play the drums, you had to get better. So you were playing a little bit beforehand. What kind of stuff were you listening to? What was influencing you behind, to get you kick-started on your musical journey?
Big influences like in the early days were like Iron Maiden, and Judas Priest. But then once I started like playing drums and realizing I had to get better, it was like Dragon Force and Rhapsody, just like straight up fast double kick power metal. That was like my biggest thing when I got serious about playing drums. I was like, I need to play 16th notes on my feet at like 200 BPM. Like I need to do that like now. So, because that was the style that we were going for. I've always had to learn instruments based on necessity of what the band needed. And I've always loved drums. So I guess I got lucky that my band needed a drummer, and then yeah, that was it. I couldn't imagine still playing bass. That'd be the worst. But yeah, like Dragon Force was probably like the biggest influence when it came to like really diving into my style of my formative years of playing drums. Yeah, Dave McIntosh was a drummer at that time, and he's amazing. And I actually we got to play with them in 2012, and I got to have some conversations with him. And he's just like an amazing, amazing guy, and like he's so talented. So like it was a really fun, I guess, learning experience getting to share the stage and sit down and talk with him a little bit about stuff, and definitely made me rethink some of my techniques, if
Yeah,
you will.
technique is important. Yeah,
It
technique's
is.
important, especially in double bass, because this is a question I sometimes forget, but now I'm glad, I'm talking to you because it just popped into my head again. Old, like long time ago, hardcore shows, they would backline the instruments. You would share instruments with other bands that were playing the same night. And I was like, at the beginning, I was never great with double bass. So one, my first part of the question is, how smoothly did you transition? How was playing double bass at first? And how did you get used to it? Second, the height of the stool, I think, matters when balance comes to playing double bass. So if you could talk a little bit about that, because I didn't know how high to set my stool until I played on another person's set. So maybe talk a little bit about how you got started being good with double bass and then how the height of the stool affects or doesn't affect it.
Yeah, well, when I started playing drums in general, I immediately got a double kick pedal. I was like, if I'm gonna play drums, I'm playing heavy, fast music. I'm gonna need this. I never learned a single like kick anything. I always had two kick drums. My
Wow, okay.
first kit had like four rack toms and two, three floors. Like it was insanity. So like that was always my goal in general, was to play fast double kick. So like learning that and getting it tight really on truthfully and honestly didn't come until I started triggering my kicks. So I could actually hear every note that I was playing. Before that, yeah, I could have like a monitor or something like that, but like once you get up into the high, like 190 to 200 BPM, using acoustic kicks can, if you're not doing it properly, you can't really hear the definition of each hit, and you can be a little sloppier and it sound okay. So once I started triggering my kicks, which is probably about 12 years ago now, I that's when I noticed a big difference. I also changed my technique a lot. Because I was having big issues with my like calf muscles seizing up on stage, like not being loose enough. So I switched and I found the swivel technique. So like basically you have like the toes or like ball of your foot on the pedal, and then you're taking your heel and moving it back and forth. Like that's it's basically like putting out a cigarette on the ground, but on your pedal. And that's when I was able to really lock in and really tighten up my double kick. So and I started using direct drive pedals. Like that helped huge. And I was able to get my speed up a lot higher than what I needed, which I think is a crucial thing, especially when you're playing like 5 to 6 minute songs that are relentless. You need to be able to play like 10, 20 BPM faster than that when you're practicing, so that when you're on stage, that isn't a struggle for you.
Automatically live show things just feel faster anyways.
That's it. So like technique was a game changer for me, actually sitting down and being like, okay, something's not working here and I can feel it. So what other techniques are out there? And like with the internet these days, you can do your research and find what works for you. Like currently, right now, even I'm in the process of learning double strokes, just to have that in my toolkit. You know, like if I'm doing very long passages of straight 16th notes, I can just switch to doubles. I can save a little bit of energy, and it seems to be working out pretty good. And I've found a way that I can seamlessly switch back to swivel, and that way I still have that control, right? I think control is the biggest thing when talking about anything to do with drums. You know, like speed is one thing and all that, but if you have control of what you're doing, then the speed will come a lot more naturally to you. It's the same with hands and with feet. If you're just playing as fast as you can, and there's no control over anything that you're doing, you're not going to be able to properly build your speed up or stay in time for that matter. You
You're gonna
know,
burn yourself
so
out.
100%. Yeah, man. Yeah. So
Gosh,
yeah.
yeah, technique's important.
Technique is super important. And like my feet are something that I've always worked on very hard. I need to take a step back and focus on my hand technique because it is trash.
I
Like,
don't
yeah.
know if I agree with that. Hey, what shoes are we wearing? What kind of shoes are we wearing?
Vans, just
Nice.
the regular flat bottom, low
Skate
cut
shoes, maybe.
Vans, just skate shoes. I used to use I had like a pair of Reebok CrossFit type shoes that I wore. Then one day for sound check, I just like left my Vans on, and I was like, these feel amazing. Like, why? I'm just gonna use these. So I had to go out and buy a new pair of shoes while I was on tour because they get all sweaty and like salt stained and gross and they smell. So I have those shoes specifically for on stage. I still use the same pair. Like, that's it. I've been through all the drum shoes. Like, back in the day, I had a pair of the DB drum shoes and I love those. I absolutely love them, but they stopped making them. The company went out of business, and all the sizes they have left to sell are not my size. So,
I
and
feel
then the other one, Vatram, or however you pronounce it,
it.
those new drum shoes. I have a pair of those as well, but I find like just the regular Vans, as long as they don't have too much, grip on them, which, you know, because I do the swivel, so I need it to be, you know, like have a nice amount of motion, but super just flat and comfy. That's
I
it.
was For a long time, I was Pumas. Like, I would do Puma skate shoes, the suedes, flat, just like you're saying, skinny. That used to be what I would drum in. And then I found Vans are very comfortable as well. There was a time there where I would be going straight from work to play a show and I would be in my steel toes. Don't recommend playing in steel toe shoes trying to drum.
No,
But
we're not all Gene Hoglan.
for a little while there, I went barefoot or just socks. And then I was like, you know what? I gotta have some shoes. So yeah, footwork's important, technique's important. What you wear down there is important, man. So good double bass
Absolutely.
talk, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
let's take a little tour around your kit, man. What are you playing? And maybe describe how you got it set up.
yeah. So I am a Mapex drums artist. I have a Mapex Saturn V or Saturn 5 maple walnut drum kit with the black burl finish. Beautiful, beautiful kit. I use two 22-inch kick drums, 10, 12 rack toms, 14, 16 floor toms. So I keep my rack toms centered in my kit. So my snare is in the middle, and then my 10 is slightly to the left, and 12 is slightly to the right. And then 14-inch floor on the left, 16-inch floor on the right. I have a 14 by 6.5 persuader hammered brass snare by Mapex. It's my favorite snare that Mapex is currently making. They've made a lot of awesome ones in the past, but when I signed with Mapex, like that was their brass snare, and I absolutely love it. It's incredible. Even I run a studio here too, and every drummer that I come in, I'm like, just use my kit. It's amazing. I love it. You know, I know how to tune it and make it sound nice. And that we always use that snare anytime we do shoot outs or anything. For cymbals, I have gone with predominantly all Sabian at this current time. So I have 13-inch hats on the left. I have the only thing that I have that's different is I have 14-inch a custom Zildjian hi-hats on my right hand side.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I gotta have the remote hi-hat on the right, or auxiliary hi-hat, if you will.
Yeah.
I have the 20-inch Sabian power bell ride. Mm-hmm. I've had that on my kit for forever. Like as soon as I could find one, I picked one up, and that was it. I love them. Like the power bell is the way to go, especially for the type of metal that I play. I know that a lot of people are like, the bell's too big, and that is like, it works perfect for me. I want it to cut. I want it to hurt your ears when I play it. All right. So, and then I go with two crashes. Everything on my kit is very symmetrical. So two crashes that are kind of above the rack toms, an 18 on my left, a 19 on the right. Then I have two Chinas that fall like just behind those. I use a 17-inch AA Extreme from Sabian on my left, and then the 19-inch Holy China on my right.
Wow.
And then I got a little 10-inch splash from Sabian. I think it's the Neil Peart.
Okay.
His signature one that he had. So yeah.
Do you have it mounted by the toms?
Yeah, right in between the rack toms. Yeah,
nice.
Kind of right there. So when you're doing fills, it's easy to just splash it in there. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
When I used to use three rack toms, I'd have two splashes, right? Uh-huh. But yeah, one is good enough. It's fine. Yeah. I use Trick Dominator pedals. So the direct drives, I love them. They're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've had them for about 12 years now, and they're incredible. I use, what else? I'm with Los Cabos Drumsticks.
Nice. I'll tell them my next question.
Yeah, I've been with Los Cabos for a decade now. Actually, a little over. It was 2013 that I started talking with those guys, and they've been absolutely amazing to me. First endorsement that I ever had, and well, I'm still with them, so. You know, I use the 2B white hickory sticks.
Nice.
So, yeah, those are my favorite. Everybody loves the red hickory. All the death metal guys and everything are like red hickory all the way. But like, no, the white hickory just feels a little nicer in my hands. So, yeah, big shout out to Los Cabos. I absolutely love them. They're like family to me. So
are you familiar with the band Blackheart Saints?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, they're like they're kind of more of like a hard rock kind of band. Like I seen them when they were on tour with Steel Panther. I talked to their drummer after the show. He's also Los Cabos sticks guy. So
awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great sticks. Nice and meaty, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's a nice Canadian wood, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So let me go back to the beginning. Whenever you like, as a drummer, like you play along to some of your favorite stuff, or at least that's what I did. Is that something you did as well? And do you remember the first song that you learned?
Ooh, I definitely jammed to some stuff. A lot of Iron Maiden. I don't know if there was ever a song that I like specifically sat down and learned front to back in my early years. Because as soon as I started playing, like I played in like basically like two different bands as soon as I started playing drums. So a lot of what I was learning and doing was just rehearsing with those bands in my early years. I've done a couple covers of some stuff. I did like a Rhapsody cover that you can find on YouTube. But like I've always just been playing in so many bands and projects and everything. I'd never really found the time or took the time to learn other people's stuff because I was always too busy playing and other people like other bands and my own band. And yeah, and like when I sit down to practice, I'm more so focused on just like letting the click go and working on my technique and skills from like the ground up rather than like performing songs. And if I am, then I'm trying to perfect the songs that I already have. So,
That's right.
but that like the only thing I can think of is like playing, like just blasting some Iron Maiden in my headphones and playing along to some
Along.
of that stuff. Yeah, that's like probably like the thing I did in the early days because it was just so much fun, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So if I was to task you with this, would you be able to rattle off a top five either drummers that influence you or top five drummers that are just your favorites to listen to or hear, you kind of appreciate what they do?
Daniel Erlandson from Arch Enemy would definitely be up there. Basically because of just like how he writes drums and it like everything he plays, I find it's like absolutely perfect for the part and it never stands out, but when you watch him play it, it's like that's absolutely ridiculous. But it just fits the part so well that it's not like he's showing off or anything. Like I always find him to be absolutely amazing. He's always in my top, especially as far as influences as well. I gotta put Dave McIntosh in there, just for like influence wise in my early days. He's in absolutely incredible. I'm trying to think of like newer guys. Bryce Butler, even though he's actually younger than me. He is from he plays for the band Shadow of Intent.
Oh, nice.
But he's been such like an inspiration. Just his speed and his passion for drumming and everything. And like I feel lucky to say that he's a friend of mine now. And like we've gotten to hang out a number of times over the years. And just talking to him is just like he's just such an amazing human being as well.
That's good. Yeah.
And his drumming is absolutely incredible. I could watch him play drums all day.
That's awesome.
So that's three. Now I'm trying to think. Now I'm stuck. We could say Nico from Iron Maiden, you
Right
know,
on.
as far as like inspiration, definitely. Definitely.
I like that
Like,
bit.
yeah, he's still going. Even though pretty sure he's the oldest member of Iron Maiden as
Oh
well.
my goodness.
And then, yeah, and he's still like killing it. And they're
Crushing
doing
it, yeah.
another tour this year. It's insane. So even just as far as like the longevity of his playing is like, you know, you gotta respect it and appreciate that. But everything, the creativity and his fills and like it's just like how much fun he has when he's playing. Like that's the one of the biggest things for me is having fun while playing your instrument.
Yeah, oh
And
yeah, 100%.
like I always got really hard on myself back in the day and everything was always a struggle. And these days I'm just every time I get up to perform, I'm like, I just want to have a fun time. If I'm having a fun time, audience is having a fun time, we're having a fun time as a band, and I don't want to do this anymore if it's not fun. Because that's,
Right.
you know, I'm getting too old just to do stuff and be mad about it. Like, no, I want to have fun doing it. So yeah, just him smiling behind the kit, you like after doing this for
So many
what,
years.
40 years?
40 years, yeah.
Because I think he joined in 1983.
Cool.
So, or maybe it was 84. Number of the Beast was 82. So 83 you would have joined. So would yeah. So it would be 21 years or 41. Holy.
40, yeah, man.
God
Jeez.
damn. And he's still loving it. So, Yeah.
That's what matters. And that shines through. Like, I feel like a crowd can feel that whenever you're having a good time. Like, when people get up there and they stand there night after night, you kind of feel that. So if you see a guy enjoying himself, it kind of gets you into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this, even though his drumming isn't necessarily an influence, but Craig Reynolds from Stray from the Path,
Okay.
overall, like it is a big influence as far as like everything he's doing with his podcast and like everything he's done to get drummers like more, I guess, at the forefront of certain things has been really sick. And him himself is an incredible drummer, and it's not often that I notice the drumming on more like hardcore type stuff like that, but he's very intricate and knowledgeable in his playing and how he writes his drums. So it's made me really think about my playing and my writing a lot more like skillfully when it comes to writing new material or even like performing it live. Like he's just like gotten in my head a little bit, like hearing him talk about all his
That's
parts and everything, and I'm like, okay, I have to like start thinking of this stuff and not just getting up there and hitting stuff, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's my top five then. I know,
Nice.
yeah, I did not prepare for that one, but I made it through.
Solid list. It's
Yeah.
weird the names you come up with when you're on the spot, because you can have your
Right?
guy you watched growing up or stuff you did, but then whenever whoever comes to your brain first normally is where your heart goes anyways. But as we're winding down here, sir, I have a couple random questions for you. Also, I want to hear that. I want to find out about that guy's podcast so I can check it out and listen as well. But I have a couple random questions for you, sir.
All right, let's go.
What's the best band you've ever seen live?
Oh no, I had two from this year that blew me away. One was Meshuggah. Meshuggah
Oh,
was
yes.
absolutely incredible. Now I'm trying to think. I had another one that was like absolutely insane. I guess I can go with Meshuggah.
Okay.
Meshuggah was like, yeah,
Solid choice.
they were absolutely insane. They're great. Yeah. Cattle Decapitation is another one I love, love, love seeing live, especially like the last like 3 or 4 years they've come through has been like they've gotten so good at their live performance. It's just been insane.
That's cool.
So yeah, I guess I'll say yeah, Cattle Decapitation and Meshuggah are probably two of the best bands that I've seen live. So
Great choices, man. This
yeah.
next one, I might know where you're going, or maybe just because of the way the convo's gone so far, I might know who you might pick. But is there a band that you would just love to go on tour with, past, present, somebody just like who would you like to go on tour with?
I would love to
What would
go
be
on
the dream?
tour. I would love to go on tour with Unleash the Archers. To be honest, like that'd be the best. I did a tour with them in 2015, and I just want to not necessarily recreate that, but like I want to be on tour with people who I love, and sometimes you end up on tours and none of the bands really gel well, and it makes
Drag.
everything. Yeah, it makes everything more difficult day to day, and tours hard can be hard enough as it is. So when you feel like you're with family, it just makes everything more enjoyable. And if you have any issues or problems or anything, you're more comfortable to bring it up, because sometimes you're with people, you're like, I can't say anything because like we have to spend another 3 weeks with this person, and like it's just those little things about touring, and they're killing it right now. So like I know it's going to be a sick tour. We did 4 dates with them in Canada to kind of like close out the year in October, and it was absolutely incredible. Like huge crowds every night. And we want to be playing in front of as many people as we can. So we know that that would facilitate that. And they're just the best human beings that I've got the chance to tour with. So yeah, definitely they'd be my number one choice of people to tour with again.
That's awesome, man. I love that answer. So my podcast network here, it's a lot of pop culture stuff. I'm actually the only show that talks music, really. But a lot of movie stuff is happening on there. So I like to ask, do you have a favorite movie based around music, whether it's fact, fiction, autobiography? Do you have a go-to?
I'm a big fan of comedies.
Good.
Okay. So as far as the first thing that popped into my head when you say music movie is Walk Hard.
Nice.
Yeah, with John C. Reilly, you know, Dewey Cox story. That's probably my favorite movie about music. It's not very serious, but like, yeah, again, like I love comedies. Like that's what, if I'm gonna sit down and watch something, it's gonna be a comedy. So yeah, that'd be my answer. Yeah. Walk Hard.
That whole scene with the Beatles, with all the different guys playing the Beatles to perfection, is so good.
It's so hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. That whole movie, start to finish. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. After you listen to this, go check out that movie. What would be something that would shock somebody to find out about you? Like, here we have this heavy metal dude with the fantastic beard, badass behind the drums. Are we a secret opera lover? What would be like a surprise to somebody?
Oh, I if you want to like talk like that type of thing, I love like late 90s, early 2000s pop music.
Nice.
Like me and our vocalist Krista, whenever we're doing like night drives or anything like that, like we both love all that stuff, like the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, like all those hits from the early 2000s. We have a playlist going that we pop on that's like 3-4 hours long of just bangers. So that's one of the things. And also, like, I grew up listening to punk rock, and one of my first like real loves of music, because I would like jump around to different genres and this and that as a child. And then when I found pop punk and like Blink-182 and Sum 41, that was the first time. I was like 11 or maybe 12 years old, and I was like, I actually like connect with this type of music, this like angstiness. It's kind of aggressive, it's still catchy and everything. But so like my love of pop punk and straight up just like pop music is that's something that people probably wouldn't expect from me. So yeah.
All right, you guys keep your ears peeled for that Britney Spears cover coming from Lutharo down the road. But
I wish. I wish that we could do
which
that.
One would you pick?
Ooh, I don't know, because Children of Bodom did Hit Me Baby One More Time, I think.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's a hard one. I probably want to do a Christina Aguilera.
Oh, nice. You
know, maybe Genie in a Bottle, like a classic.
Wow, you know? That'd be cool,
yeah,
man.
That would be cool. Yeah, good luck trying to convince the rest of the guys to put that together. But maybe we can do it. Maybe we can get it done. It'd be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun, man. Yeah. So what are some hobbies other than music that you have? Like, for example, we had Zach from Skullfist on the show. Awesome guy, another phenomenal Canadian band. He's a big outdoorsman. I wasn't expecting that, but he loves to be outside with his dogs. What's something you love to do besides music?
Honestly, dude, my whole life revolves around music these days, oddly enough. Like, if I'm not with my band, I like run a small recording studio here in Hamilton, so like everything is just, it's music, music, music. And then when I'm not doing that, I work at the like metal bar, bartend there. So like everything is just like centralized around heavy music. There's not really anything outside of music that I really do these days. Like, I'm not really a sports fan. I love getting out. I used to be really, really into fitness, and I've kind of fallen off the last year or so because of touring kind of put me off place. But that's something I really want to get back into.
Gotcha.
I love like running. I used to run, 5 to 10K every single day. That was like a big part of my lifestyle. So like fitness and everything like that, which also leans into my performance on drums. So that was always a big part of it. Not only like I'm not getting any younger, so I should probably take care of my body a little more, after years of touring and the drinking lifestyle and everything, my body's kind of falling apart. So I need to take care of that. But also it helps greatly to be in shape when you're behind the kit. You don't want to be all gassed like two songs into your set.
No
So
way.
yeah. So I guess that's like the one thing outside of music, but yeah, like everything right now in my life, and that's my personal doing as well, is
I got
I need as much music in my life as
you.
possible in as many different ways as I
That's
can.
cool.
So
That's cool, man.
yeah.
I get
Yeah.
it. I get it. All
Yeah.
right, so this has been an awesome conversation, man. I've enjoyed hanging out with you. Can you tell people where they can keep up with everything going on with the band, where to see where you guys are going to be on tour, buy some merch, just support you guys as much as possible, and maybe tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Hell yeah. So first off, Lotharo, new album, Chasing Euphoria, out March 15th on Atomic Fire Records. You can head over to lotharo.com for all the pre-orders and everything like that. Also, we just announced we are going to be on tour in North America with Raven and Vicious Rumors in March through May. So you can also find all those tour dates up on there, and there are some more to be announced soon as well. And we're like the band is on all the social media, you can find us on Instagram. It's like Lotharo Official. We also do we do live on Twitch. We do streams of our rehearsals. So if you just I think I'm pretty sure it's just Lotharo Official, all one word, on Twitch, you can find us there. We also do a podcast as well, which is Live Laugh Lotharo. So that's all the band stuff. Now about me. I host a podcast called We're Talking Drums. So
Nice.
where I basically just talk to other drummers, and then we just have conversations, drummer to
Right on.
drummer, very similar to this.
Yeah,
So
sweet.
yeah, I've met some amazing drummers and made some incredible friends from doing that podcast. So I've been doing it for about 3 years now. It's a lot of fun. So you can find us on all streaming platforms, YouTube. That's We're Talking Drums with no G. I made it difficult for no reason. Yeah, and Instagram's just We're Talking Drums, like Facebook, all that jazz. Yeah, and you can find me personally at Corey H Drummer on Instagram, Facebook, and all that fun stuff. So
Awesome.
yeah, man. I guess
Great
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
time. That's cool, man. I hope you guys come close to South Carolina again, because I'll be coming to say hi and see you in person. And I'm definitely going to stay in touch, man. You're an awesome guy. You're a phenomenal drummer. And this has been a great chat. And I'm very thankful you're on the show, man.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me, man. It's been a fun
Cool.
time.
All right, man. Well, stay safe. Stay warm up there, dude. Most importantly, stay metal.
Fuck yeah.
I have forever. Hey, that's the show for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And join us here at the Thrill Me Podcast Network, where you can check out phenomenal shows like Haunters Podcast, The Review of Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Core Memory Unlocked. We greatly appreciate you. And until next time, stay metal.